one of the people that enjoys Darren Revelle on Twitter. Here's a little-known fact he just tweeted, guys. Before Gatorade signed Michael Jordan in 1991, you know who their spokesman was? I won't even do it to you because we could be here all day. They used Vinnie Johnson of the Detroit Pistons.
Oh,
the microwave. The old microwave, Vinnie Johnson.
Yeah, you ever boil up some Gatorade? Some good stuff.
Well, let's go to line two quick.
Oh, no.
Hey, John. Crazy. John, you're on with Katie Christensen.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Well, that's praise, not prayer.
Okay, we didn't know. P-R-A-Y-S.
Yeah, so, Katie, I'll save the prayer for the two guys you work for, okay?
Thank you.
Work with, rather. Anyhow, Katie, I just want to tell you, as the season is coming to a close here, thank you for all of the wonderful work that you do for the Kings. I just appreciate all your insight, everything you know about basketball, and let alone, you're a beautiful presence there on the court at the Kings game, I'll tell you that. Anyhow, interested in finding out, going forward, if you're interested in doing any color commentating to represent women in sports.
We're bearing with you because you're praising Katie, but your phone is so jacked up right now. I don't know if you're on a speaker or not, so our listeners are probably, hey, there you go. You asked her about color commentary. Are you talking about, like, nationally, or are you talking about kicking Jerry Reynolds out?
Well, I call Jerry Reynolds Mr. Obvious because he uses that word obviously about 30 or 40 times a game, and that bugs me a little bit. Yeah, I would like to see Katie do something with the Kings or even nationally. Once again, her knowledge is just phenomenal. I think she would represent women so wonderful in the NBA. And so that was where my phrase is, and just wanted to get some insight from Katie.
All right. Hey, John.
Why, thank you, John. That's very
basically
nice.
Breaking down John's thing. John wants to know when you're replacing Jerry Reynolds.
I've done color work before, not in the NBA. I've only done the analyst stuff in the studio. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I never want to see Jerry go.
Agreed.
Until Jerry's ready to go.
Agreed.
And that's one of those things. There are a couple, like, female commentators, and it's really difficult to replace an encyclopedic knowledge. You know, Jerry is a basketball encyclopedia.
Never played the game, though.
He coached for a long time.
I guess that counts.
And he's from Indiana, so I mean that you're born with it in your
blood.
Jerry
Reynolds should have a lifetime contract.
Yeah,
and there's
I
two
agree.
Ways Jerry Reynolds should leave his job. A, he decides to. B, he dies.
I agree.
That's it.
I agree.
That's it.
There's two options.
And as far as I'm concerned, the same thing goes with the entire broadcast team. Jason Ross, he decides to leave or he dies. Gary Gerald leaves, dies. Grant leaves, dies. Same thing with you. And the Kings have so little going for them over the last God knows how many years. One thing I'm biased, I think they have going for them is I think they have the best overall broadcast group in the country.
Well, we actually got voted that, Dave, so thank you.
Many times.
Yeah.
More than once, internally, by NBA people and by the public and
fans.
Hoopside. There's a reason.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to get voted by fans and internally, the best broadcast crew in the country
when you play for a garbage fire.
I mean, really, can we have some acknowledgement of that? God.
Knock it off, Matt George, or I will come in there and physically handle you.
You want to get rid of that? Are you kidding me? All right, the Kings play the Suns tonight.
Obviously will not be on The Voice.
It is the season finale at home for the Kings, and you cut me off for good reason when I said I didn't think the game was going to be that great. But before I said that, my point I was trying to make is, even if the game's going to suck tonight, ownership, everybody, they're always really, really good about the home finales. Those are always fun for fans.
I was actually curious your guys' thoughts, and maybe even, you know, our listeners at 339-1140 or the text line at 44-1140. Something I want to do tonight, because this is the first season in Golden One Center, I want to...
Jeans. No? Blue
casual
jeans?
Casual Tuesday?
Casual?
No, I wanted to ask what your memories stick out at this building this year. What are your favorite memories? Like, the win over Golden State is a big one. I think that win over Boston was good. But, like, are there other things that stuck out? I mean, one that sticks out to
me is
when—
Went over the Warriors, like you said.
Yeah, when Rudy Gay went down, that was— that.
Oh, good that's or a, bad?
Yeah, okay. Like, what memories stick out to you? Because I'm trying to—
We're doing a montage?
To, yeah.
Okay. We're doing a montage of first-year memories.
I'll never forget the game where DeMarcus got ejected and brought back on the floor and dropped 55 on Portland and then went off in the post-game interview with me.
Yes.
Like, those are what sticks out to you from this season?
Rudy, DMC being unejected, the Warriors win.
I think the Warriors win is probably the
one.
Yeah.
I mean,
9/11,
to be honest with you, like, I've done a lot of repression.
Yeah.
When it comes to this season.
You're damaged.
Especially when it comes, you know.
Oh, the door's open.
The DeMarcus Cousins thing. Yeah, having the doors open was neat.
Yeah.
You know, there's one really obvious
but now
one.
That DeMarcus is gone, it's just like, oh, God. It's all gone.
You know, that first game after DeMarcus, though, when they beat Denver, seeing Willie play the way he did. Like, like, what individual performances, things stick out?
The one that should really be in here, but I have a problem, you know, now that we're way removed from it, is I think the obvious one should be opening night.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly thought they dropped the ball on opening night, to be honest with you. I think opening night was— – I thought the opening night was a lot more understated than it should have been. It wasn't bad. It was just— – I remember when the ball tipped on opening night, I remember going, really? Like, really?
That was just kind of it.
That's— – really? Like, that's it? Like, with everything we went through? Like, that? That's it? That's what?
Oh, let's play revisionist history, Dave. If you were in charge of opening night,
if I was in charge,
what would have happened?
If I was in charge, it would have been longer. And I know there's minute restrictions. I get that with the NBA. And I would have done a lot more on, you know, like what they did last year, I thought was fantastic with ex-players and stuff like that. The one thing I was really hoping they would do, you had both commissioners in attendance. You had Silver and David Stern. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to see them recreate the King's Court is now in session.
Yeah.
I would have nodded back to days of yore when the other arenas opened, and I would have had Silver, Stern, Vivek, and KJ on the floor. That was the one moment I was sure they were going to do and recreate that. I would have had Slamson on the giant ladder with the sparklers. Getting everybody up in the air, the two wands with the sparks coming out. That's an iconic moment. And I would have done—
I mean, Grant and Jerry in a tux, that was kind
of
cool.
I thought that was very cool. A lot of people were in tuxes. Yeah. And then I think the montage, I would have, I'm a cheese ball, but I would have loved song the montage again. But I would have flipped the script a little to go from the sadness and the depths of Grant and Jerry losing it on the air. And then I would have flipped that montage again.
The one thing I'm not hearing, Dave. And it's kind of interesting to me.
What?
I'm surprised that you didn't have yourself on a ladder.
Yeah, no, that's not going to get out of here. Yeah, that's been done. See, I'm trying to be serious. And then you guys
Thanks, Matt.
Is Matt, is that what you were waving at me for? Okay.
Listen to the roar of that crowd.
That's what I would have done.
What did we say?
Love will find a way. Wait, is that what they said?
Oh.
I didn't know.
Odd responses by us, but they worked.
A little bit. Okay. All right.
Kings.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that. I sure as hell wouldn't have put me back up on it. But I would have had Slamson on the ladder. I would have. I'm just saying, I'm more schmaltzy. I would have schmaltzed it out. I understand what they were doing. They wanted to kind of move forward. The past is the past.
Right.
We're moving on to the future. I just thought it was understated, so I'm not putting that. I'm putting that in my memories. Maybe the bar was set a little higher in my mind. So we've got the doors opening for the first game.
I thought you meant— – see, I didn't think you meant, like, doors opening night. I thought you meant— – yeah, you know, the doors.
No, the windows.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
That's cool.
I think that's absolutely amazing.
Oh, you've got to put G-Man's 2500th broadcast.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I'm writing that down.
I am too.
Is there a quiz later?
No, I'm just making, you know, I like the idea.
When I go to my producer today, I want to say, hey, here's the ideas that the Brain Trust came up with.
I mean, the problem is, can you really do any DeMarcus stuff?
Yeah, it's part of the season.
I mean, okay.
You can't write it out of your season.
Listen, a lot of teams do that, including the Kings in the past.
We need to get Nate some therapy, man.
I'm with Nate, man. I don't know why, but this season really damaged me. Like, I'm damaged. I don't know that I've ever been more snarky and negative towards this team, and it's really not that bad. A lot of people think it's a DeMarcus thing. It's not the DeMarcus thing. I've said 900,000 times
so
it needed to happen.
Things.
It's just a lot of other crap. It's like, now I need them to bring me back. And the draft lottery will help. Because as far as the draft lottery is concerned, I'm fully prepared for us to lose a pick. I know New Orleans is top three. I know it's coming. And then we're going to draft, you know, Finky McFinkerton face out of Slovakia.
We'll get the 10th pick, and that's it.
Exactly. We'll take a break, come back. Three for Madness next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
Does the number one seed matter to the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I don't think so. I don't think they care. And somebody texted in earlier and said, you know, we're giving all this crap to the Cavs, or people are, about the seedings, when really nobody knocks the Spurs. Now, the answer there is because they didn't really have a chance at catching.
No one takes them seriously either.
No, they don't.
They only overtook the one spot one time in this season. So
interesting, at the top three of the Western Conference, though, it's just kind of an anomaly. But you look at the top three, the Warriors have lost one in a row. The Spurs have lost two in a row, and the Rockets have lost their last game. So you got the top three that usually went out, a combined losing of four in a row there. I think everybody's in cruise control now. Those things are set. Everybody's resting up, and I don't think the Cavs care.
May not care, but I think they should, just for the fact that if you're in a position where you can own the top seed in your conference, you don't know what's going to happen during the course of the postseason. You don't know if injuries are going to happen, teams and players can slump, and I think it's just, you want to put yourself in the best position, no matter how much confidence you had, no matter how much success you had in the past. It should matter. It probably doesn't to them.
Yeah, I don't think it does either. First off, I don't see them having any trouble beating Boston. The only number one that matters to them is the one on LeBron's chest for number one player in the world.
Hey.
Because that's what he is. And it might not be the worst thing for them to go into the playoffs with a little extra motivation, knowing that they aren't the top dog on paper.
There's one thing and one thing alone that worries me about the Cleveland Cavaliers, if I'm being honest. One thing, because I am on board the LeBron James, the best player in the world train, blah, blah, blah. One thing that worries about them is that the Sacramento Kings have given up less points per game than the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're 20th in the league. That's an issue.
Yeah.
That's something I feel like could bite them in the rear end when it's all said and done. Number two.
Is Eric Spoelstra the most underrated coach in the NBA?
I think given what he's done this season, I don't know that anyone underestimates him ever. He's had a tremendous amount of success in Miami, but when you look at what he's done with this roster, I don't think he's underrated. I think he's probably more on the radar now. He should be a candidate, and a strong candidate, for Coach of the Year. I think it just bolsters his – see what I did there?
Yeah.
Bolsters his resume.
Bolster.
Yeah. Bolster. Two guys on the list for me, maybe three, because, yeah, that's a good get. He's proven now that he can do things without having LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and all of that. I would also go with, and maybe not underrated, but I think so, Rick Carlisle never gets enough love, and Terry Stotts in Portland, I think are both guys.
I thought about Stotts as well.
They're just, I think.
But again, it's because they're everyone knows that they're great coaches. So regardless of how crappy their rosters are or what they've had to deal with, they just expect them to be able to do something with it.
Yeah, I think they've been given not so much crappy rosters as limited rosters.
Yeah, well, injuries and all that.
Yeah, it's not like Portland stinks, but basically they have two really good players, and then they've had to fill in solid role guys around it, and that's where the coaching comes into play for me.
I think this year has done a lot for Spoelstra, and I think you see this sometimes with athletes and coaches where, you wake up one day and you go, my God, they've had an amazing run. And then now, and then over a course of like 2 or 3 years, they almost become overrated. I do think Spoelstra is ridiculous.
What about Billy Donovan?
How woke are we on Eric Spoelstra?
I think Billy Donovan's done a great job, but yeah, I think Eric Spoelstra has done a better job and has a longer and better body of work than Billy Donovan.
When he took over for Scotty Brooks, everyone just assumed that his success that following season was because look at the roster he has. Well, he doesn't have that, even a semblance of that roster.
They're less successful, though.
They're less successful, but no one expected him to even be as good as they have been. And a lot of that has to do with what Russell Westbrook has done. But right now, they're a sixth seed in the West.
Well, I think the counter to that argument is, how hard is it for a coach? And I know this isn't the case, but how hard is it for a coach to say, all right, Russ, do whatever you want.
But you have to get stuff out of other people.
Sure, I understand. Here's an interesting note. I brought the Spoelstra thing in because got into a conversation with somebody yesterday about him. There's a little known fact about Eric Spoelstra. For those of you who are familiar with the death of Hank Gathers at Loyola Marymount and the whole story of Bo Kimble shooting free throws left-handed in the NCAA tournament, Eric Spoelstra was playing for Portland State at the time. There's an iconic photo of Hank Gathers dunking the ball off an alley-oop. It was the final play before he collapsed at midcourt. And at the bottom of the picture, you see number 30, Eric Spoelstra, who was on the floor right under Hank Gathers when that happened. You go from that to the guy who worked his way as a video coordinator for the Heat all the way up to being a coach. The guy's life is a movie in itself. Yeah. He's had a pretty damn interesting life. What?
You don't remember that cut?
No.
Rick Carlisle. All right, who is more important to the San Francisco Shorties, Madison Bumgarner or Buster Posey?
Boy, that's a great question, you guys. It is almost impossible to answer. You know what? Give me Buster. And this is really just a wash either way. And frankly, all of the statistics bear that out, too. They're almost a deadlock all across the board. When it comes down to it, I'm going to take the guy that plays every day.
I'm with you, and it is tough. And I don't know. And it's okay for us all to agree. But when it comes down to Buster Posey, you got a guy who's going to play 150 games a year.
Fingers crossed.
You've got a guy who is part of the heart and soul, much like Madison Bumgarner is of the team. But then also, he's not just doing it at the plate. As we talked about earlier, he's also a pretty damn decent catcher who handles the pitching staff beautifully. His pitch framing is legendary. As much as I love Madison Bumgarner, I'll take the guy that's going for 150 as opposed to 30 or 40.
It's kind of like football in a way, right? Everyone always thinks about the quarterback and how important they are. But you also have to think about, and maybe in football it's more like positions, right? Like who's protecting the quarterback, right?
Nah.
To me, Buster Posey, it's an obvious answer, even though you can't disregard how important Madison Bumgarner is. But Nate, it kind of comes down to someone for me also that plays every game.
Yeah.
That is in the trenches every single day, night out. And we talked about it earlier, just his intelligence and how smart he is and how important that is for the overall success of that team. Like he has to juggle a lot more balls than Madison Bumgarner does.
The other thing is, too, that Madison Bumgarner's reputation has been bolstered, and rightfully so, by some amazing playoff performances.
Yeah.
He's a very good pitcher. He's an above-average pitcher, but he's not Clayton Kershaw. He's not like a Roger Clemens, or he's not an utterly dominant starter. He's
Randy Johnson.
Right. He's just very, very good, and he's an innings eater. Those two things combined go a really long way.
Well, and I think the fact that he hits so well is something that, you know, kind of puts him up a little bit, you know.
I mean, I'm not saying he's overrated, but, like, he...
You're saying between the two.
In a way, I mean, he kind of is.
Oh.
Madison, I understand what you're saying, and before Giants fans freak out, we got to hit a break. Madison Bumgarner is your friend that's like... He's a good friend, and, like, you know, occasionally he'll fart with your wife in the room or something. but out of all of your friends, he's the one you want in the dark alley.
Right.
And he'll never let you down, and he's always loyal.
He's remarkably consistent, but he's not, I wouldn't call him unhittable, is all.
No, he's not unhittable, but he is when it counts. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break. When we come back, It's a sweep for you before Scott Howard Cooper at 8:05. 25 minutes nonstop sports talk for you. We're going to involve you on the phones. We'll talk about Navarro Bowman and Carlos Hyde getting loose on Kaepernick. Marshawn Lynch maybe looking past the Raiders. And jersey sales are out, the top 15 for the NBA. We'll tell you which Sacramento King isn't on that list. Hint, all of them. We'll be right back on The Drive Sports, 1140 KHDK. Somebody on the text line's freaking out on you, Nate. I'm going to stand with you because I feel the same way. Kershaw better than Mad Bum? You smoking before work again, Nate?
Maybe.
Remember the most important fact?
That wasn't the question, though. The question was which player is more important to the Giants.
Yeah, but we did kind of sniff that. Listen, I am a born and raised Giants fan. I hate the Dodgers. The only thing I hate more than the Dodgers is the Lakers. Regular season, Clayton Kershaw is a better pitcher than Madison Bumgarner. Postseason, Madison Bumgarner is a better pitcher than Clayton Kershaw. So it's the eternal question, which is more important, getting there or finishing it off? Now, I will side with Madison Bumgarner. He's the guy I want in the postseason. There's no doubt about it. And Kershaw, really up till last year, has been, you know, pretty choky pants. Well, the year before, 15-16. And you're going to look at his ERA. You know, Kershaw had an ERA in the fours last year in the postseason, but that bullpen did not help him. And Bumgarner,
I mean, I'd still take my chances with him over anyone but Bumgarner in the playoffs.
But I think Kershaw's been the best pitcher in Major League Baseball pretty much for the last 8 years.
Yeah, and it's really not close.
It's not that close.
Like, just to specify, I mean, no one's saying that Bumgarner's bad. Looking at his numbers here, this would be, should he do it, this would be the fifth straight season with a sub-3 ERA. He led the league in starts last year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight years prior to this, he started more than 30 games. He is sustained excellence. But my point is more that going into every year, Clayton Kershaw is the prohibitive favorite to win the Cy Young Award. Madison Bumgarner's best year, you would count on him to be top three, top five in Cy Young voting. I just don't see him winning one. But top five, top three, like, he's consistently going to get votes every year.
Sure.
But there's, you know, it's so tough to kind of parse the difference between above average or greatness to, like, actual super duper dumbness.
Isn't it? Why does it have to be so black and white? Isn't it okay to say?
No,
again,
it's not.
One guy I'm taking in the playoffs, and that's Bumgarner.
No doubt. But I'll take Kershaw in the regular season. And if I get Bumgarner, I'm okay with that, too. But, geez, Clayton Kershaw's. Come on, man. I mean, I hate the Dodgers, but he's damned good.
Yeah.
Just unhittable. You know, the guy's whip, the highest whip he's had in, what, the last 6 years is 102?
Man.
That's stupid. Top 15 most popular NBA jerseys. Okay, so let's go down the list here. Let's play the game. I got 15 on here. Let's start the clock. How many can we knock out?
Any former Kings?
Any former Kings?
He wants to know if DeMarcus is on the list.
The answer to these two questions is yes and no.
Oh.
DeMarcus Cousins is not on the list. Yet there is a former King.
Rajon Rondo is not on the list.
He is not.
Isaiah Thomas.
That is correct, Matt George. Isaiah Thomas, number 14.
Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant.
That is your 1, 2, and 3, Nate. Steph Curry and LeBron James and Kevin Durant in that order.
Russell Westbrook.
Number 4. Kyrie Irving, number 5.
Wow, we're doing good.
Yeah. Why is your phone out, Matt?
Because I'm texting someone.
Okay.
Oh, he's not looking. Top 15.
Knock these out. Okay, so you got the top 5.
Dwayne Wade
is number 11.
Okay.
Klay Thompson
is number 13.
Draymond Green.
Who?
Draymond.
Draymond Green is number, I don't know, not in the top
15. He's not in the top 15.
How about that?
So let's go up.
James Harden.
Damian Lillard.
James Harden is number 10. Damian Lillard, number 15.
All right. What about the Zingas? There has to be a New York representation.
The Zing, number 7.
Nice.
Number 7. So we are missing number 6, 8, 9, 12.
We got a Dirk on that list.
There is no Dirk Nowitzki.
Okay.
No.
I'm trying to go. It's not going to be like a Brandon Ingram or something like that. Like,
Paul George.
It's not any
Paul George is not on there.
Not any rookies, right?
Nope.
Okay.
I'll tell you, one of them You'd think they'd have to have an extra wide jersey.
Mm.
Extra wide to make room.
Right, I figured.
For this guy.
Yeah.
Is he big?
I mean, he's definitely tall. I don't know if he's big.
Oh, would Rudy Gobert be on there?
Rudy Gobert is not on there.
Okay. I'm trying to think of big guys, but he's not big. He's tall.
No, wide jersey to fit what's on the jersey.
Oh, the name.
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
Adetokounmpo is his name.
Number 9.
What did I say?
Antetokounmpo.
Giannis is number 9.
Adetokounmpo. That's a good one.
The Greek guy.
Yeah, him. So now we are missing number 6, number 8.
Scalabissier.
And number 12. No.
Okay.
Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry not on the list. I'll tell you.
I wonder if DeMar DeRozan is on there.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
I'll tell you, one of these guys really needs to be on there. The other guy, okay, I can deal with it. And one of them is just simply because of his market and no other reason whatsoever.
Simply because of his market.
Yes. Also, his last name is a word in maybe Seal's most popular song from the Batman soundtrack.
Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose is correct. Kiss from a Rose was the song. Number 12.
I heard that on the way home yesterday, actually.
Yeah, that's funny.
Number 6 and number 8. You guys should absolutely have
Kawhi
number
Leonard.
6. That is correct. Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, yeah.
Number 6. We're missing one. We're missing one.
Gosh,
can
who is
give
it?
Us a hint? College. Do you know where they went to college?
I do, but I will give you a different hint. I will tell you that this player is the
Chris
star.
Paul.
Is incorrect, but great guess and surprising.
It's going to be, is it Blake Griffin?
It is not Blake Griffin.
Okay, sorry, finish your
I will say that this guy has a teammate on this list that we've already named. I will say that this guy is the star of his team, and he is in a very large market. Top 4 market, if not top 5.
Star
if not top
of his
2.
Team. Top
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler is correct. Guys, you nailed the whole thing. Congratulations. That's your top 15 in jersey sales. Again, Steph Curry, second consecutive year, number 1. LeBron, number 2. Kevin Durant, number 3. And you're absolutely correct. How crazy is this? If you'd have told me, and I didn't look at this list, that there are no Clippers and there's no Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Like, that's
Carmelo.
Wouldn't you think? And nobody even guessed Carmelo.
No,
but you think New York Knicks, and you know he's Carmelo. No Anthony Davis. Somebody asked about Kyrie Irving was on the list, but no Melo, no Anthony Davis, no DeMarcus Cousins.
Is there 16? Like who just missed the cut?
I just have 15. I guess I could have done top 10 and here's who missed the cut. Probably he's probably top 20. All right, finally, I have the top four major league team values according to Forbes. Would you like to take a guess at any of the top four?
New York Knicks.
The Major League Baseball, but close.
Dodgers and Yankees.
Dodgers and Yankees in what order?
I'm going to go with the Yankees first and the Dodgers.
Nate?
I would go with the Dodgers first and then the Yankees and then the Cubs.
Well, you know what? Maybe listen to the one who used to play professional sports. She's absolutely correct. Number 1, the New York Yankees. Number 2, the LA Dodgers. Now, here's what's interesting. And by the way, number 4, the Cubs. How much are the Yankees worth? And Price is Right
it's
rules.
It's
got to
be over $1 billion. $1.7 billion.
$1.7 billion, Katie. Remember, if you go over, doesn't matter how close you are, you're out.
If you go over, $1.5 billion.
Wow, way to screw Nate there. Jeez,
I know.
But you didn't screw Nate because he was
he won.
The closest.
I was going to say 1.9.
You said 1.7, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you add $2 billion to that?
What?
$3.7 billion are your New York Yankees.
That's good.
Followed by the Dodgers, who are a full billion behind the Yankees at 2.75. The Cubs in fourth at 2.67. Guys, the number 3, and you should get this. Because you think you got Chicago, you got
Boston.
New York, you got LA, and you got the Boston Red Sox at $2.7 billion. Tom Ricketts in 2009 was thought to have overpaid for the Red Sox. That was 8 years ago when he paid $847 million for them.
I'm guessing the A's aren't anywhere near the top of that list.
I just have the top 4. I think they're probably 5. Obviously.
Right, just right there.
I was going to say maybe on the cusp of 6.
What's honestly scary is, and I'll have to find this article, but I don't know that they are even worth the next 2 decimals of, the A's have to be, are they worth $700 million? They have to be. Well, we'll find this out. Like if you had to
maybe
guess.
Maybe when they get a new stadium.
If you had to guess, though, I think the A's are worth around $1 billion. We'll find that article here, but my goodness gracious, that's why everybody wants to be a team owner. Be a freaking team owner, man. Marshawn Lynch has let it be known through, you know,
$725 million, according to Forbes.
Really, $725 million. Yeah, I feel like that's a good buy. Like, that's a good buy.
Apparently it's number 29, so there's a worse.
Cost $700 million for the grass and $25 million for the payroll.
I wonder, are the Pirates number? No, they can't be because they have the new park. If there's one team, oh, the Rays.
Oh.
It's got to be the Rays. You got the list in front of you?
I'm trying to.
Yeah, Matt's searching.
The Rays are one ahead, actually.
Ooh.
It's the Pirates.
Oh, it is the Pirates. There you go.
Is that updated, though?
Yeah, according
to Forbes.
Okay. Yeah, according to Forbes.
Well, this has them at $880 million as of April
27th. Man, I wish I had a lot of money.
Yeah, that'd be rad.
If I invented the new Facebook or something. Honestly, all I'd want is just enough money to buy the Kings. That's all I'd want. And like enough to get like some clothes and a house. But then on top of that.
Do you not have clothes now?
No, but I'm saying I'd want like some living money. Uh-huh. You know, a nice house.
It's funny that of all the things that you say you wish you had money to buy, and clothes is on that list.
Well, I'm just saying I don't want to buy the Kings and then drive a Yugo.
Like, that'd be kind of cool, though.
It'd be like Mark Davis.
Of the NBA. Who is the Mark Davis of the NBA?
Well, it used to be the Kings. I don't think so.
The Maloose lived fairly large and lavishly.
At the end. I mean, they never drove, you know, Aerostars or anything like Mark Davis does. I don't know there really is a Mark Davis in the NBA anymore. They're all so rich. Even in Milwaukee, those guys, the hedge fundy guys, those guys are...
Has anyone, I know that there are guys out there that have been born into their ownership stake, but they're all kind of well-to-do socialites.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know that there's too many poor people out there anymore owning teams. And again, when we say poor, obviously, Mark Davis is richer than any of us will ever be.
That's his asset.
Right. We're talking about, you know, ownership poor. I don't know that anybody can compete with Mark Davis.
He's just rich, not wealthy.
Marshawn Lynch, according to a report, is thinking that if things don't work out with the Raiders, that he has interest in playing for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Boy, would that be a kick in the you-know-wheres. Now, I like where Lynch is coming from, though. This is the one that I actually kind of understand, is that he's not an idiot. And he's a 31-year-old running back who's been out for a year. But he's a businessman, and I think he understands very uniquely. He's in a unique spot because his presence on the Raiders, screw on the field. What it's going to do for the fan base and what it's going to do for jersey sales.
They need him more than he needs them. That's for sure.
Yes.
You got to know when you're in a position of power, and man, is he in a position of power.
With the Raiders especially.
With the Raiders.
And it said that his thought process is that, like, well, his heart wants to go to the Raiders. That's where he wants to play and finish his career and really finish out the Oakland run. But if he's going to come back and it can't be for the Raiders, well, then he'd rather come back to a place where he's going to win a championship. And that's where the Patriots are. And he'd be a fine replacement for LeGarrette Blount.
Hey, I would say so.
He could just kind of step into that LeGarrette Blount mode and be very similar. Whereas with the Raiders, as you said, Katie, the Raiders need Marshawn Lynch much, much more than he needs them.
I don't see how they don't make it happen.
Isn't this just driving up his value? That's really all. Because when he first originally came out and said that he wanted to unretire, it was exclusively to play for the Raiders, or else he wasn't interested in going back into the NFL. And so now that this has kind of been dragging on for a while, does anyone know? Has he even filed his reinstatement?
No.
So I feel like this is all a very thought-out, scripted kind of way to drive up his value.
I think so. And I think he picked the wrong team
in the Patriots. And they don't overspend for things. If you're in the Raiders position, aren't you happy that this might be the team you're bargaining against for his services? I mean, what do you think the Patriots would give up a third rounder at most?
Well,
probably
that's
not
going
even
to him,
that.
Though. That's going to the Seahawks.
Well, right. Now, not to him necessarily, but, I mean, driving his value up for what the Seahawks can get.
I don't know that he's trying to drive up his Patriots value. I think what he's saying, I could be misreading it, is that if the Raiders don't step up to the plate with what he wants, that he would take less money with the Patriots to win a championship. I think that's what he's saying, because I can't imagine he's playing financial chicken with Robert Kraft. He's going to lose.
Well, yeah, it's not. No, I mean, I think he's playing the Seahawks is what I'm
sure
kind of getting at. I don't. I think he's playing the.
Yeah,
playing the Seahawks.
I know a lot of Raider fans almost completely. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised. There's got to be some Raider Lynch jerseys out there already.
Did you guys see the Lakers jersey that a fan had on going
the ball
into the
jersey.
Game? The ball jersey. It's ball
Please
game,
let
man.
That happen. Please let him go to the Lakers. Actually, screw that. Please let him go to the Magic. That's where I'm going. Get drafted the Magic. See how that works out.
Is it worse having a personalized jersey for a team like the Lakers? I mean, I kind of get it a little more. I'm just, dude, if you want to get a personalized jersey, cool. And I have one that I got as a kid for Christmas that's a 49ers jersey. So if that's your thing, then great.
Right.
I think I'm not into it. I think it's kind of lame, but that's just me, okay?
What, personalizing jerseys?
Yeah, but I can kind of get it from the perspective of a Kings fan when you've got turnover year after year after year and players where you're just not really sure if they're either good enough or going to be around long enough to invest in their jersey. So, I don't know, get your own made. That makes a little bit of sense to me. But, okay, you're a Lakers fan. Get a Kobe jersey or a Shaq jersey or get a
You want to nod to the past.
Yeah, like personalize a Magic jersey or a Kareem jersey or something like that. And I guess if you're a Kings fan, you could be in the same spot.
How would you personalize a Kareem jersey?
No, but what I'm saying is, like, why would you do that when there are a million jerseys you can buy that are iconic, that are never going to be traded,
that's evergreen. That's what I do with my jerseys. I have three player jerseys. I have a it's going to be a great list. I have a Fredette jersey.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I have a McLemore jersey.
Do you really?
And I have a Cousins jersey. Those are my three newer King player jerseys.
One of those guys is left.
Everybody else is, you know, Weber, Vlade. I think I have a Brad Miller 52.
So, see, I would just wear that.
Right. That's what I do. That's generally what I will do. The McLemore jersey, I think, is... I don't know where it is. So somewhere in the back. Oh, and I have an Artest jersey. I have two Artest jerseys.
I wear that one every game.
I have an Artest. I have a regular purple Artest jersey. I have a white Artest jersey. And then I have, you know, the hockey jersey I always used to wear with a purple hockey jersey. Craig Amazine used to work for the Kings. They had a prototype. It was a red, white, and blue throwback hockey. Like the, talking about the throwback Kings colors.
Okay.
That
okay.
red, white, and blue. Not like America. But like the throwback Kings jerseys.
Gotcha. Okay.
I have one of those with Artest.
The
on
baby
the back.
Blues.
Yes. Yes. And they never made those. I don't even know if they make the hockey jerseys anymore.
I have zero jerseys from any
sport. Well, you can't really.
I mean, I have my own, I guess.
Wow.
But I don't even know where those are.
That's not our system.
I tried to. Yeah, but
what
nobody else has
wearing?
Those
my
either.
Own.
No one else has those either.
I have one ears. It's not a jersey.
It's
I have
not a
jersey.
You have a Phoenix,
I have a
Mercury,
Phoenix Mercury
t-shirt that he robbed, man.
I absolutely robbed
it. I have baby. That photo in my phone that it's going to come out.
It's 7:55. Time to save money on Shell gasoline. Text the word Dave to 83835 now. Save a quarter off your second fill-up and oh so much more when you stack those rewards. We'll break when we return. Scott Howard Cooper joins us next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.